upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Welcome to Technocracy News and Trends. I am Patrick Wood. Today is March 29, 2019. Today we're going to talk a little bit about healthcare, and in particular, the intrusion of technocracy into the healthcare arena. Healthcare, as you might imagine, is a very important component of social engineering. There are many areas in society that lend themselves to social engineering, but healthcare is one of the most important. And today there's an interesting story that highlights this. The first story posted on technocracy.news is AI, or artificial intelligence, in healthcare predicts who will die prematurely. Who will die prematurely? Now, this particular article, which I recommend that you read for example's sake, if nothing else, this article shows that healthcare is racing to use artificial intelligence to make predictions about you. Not only your current health, things that you might be susceptible to, things that you might come down with later, but also when you might die. Will you die prematurely? If so, how premature? This is very dangerous direction that healthcare is going in. And I want to focus on the key word, predict. The French philosopher Henri de Saint-Simon, is considered to be the father of technocracy, but also of scientism. He said, as he defined scientism, "A scientist, my dear friends, is a man who foresees. It is because science provides the means to predict that it is useful, and the scientists are superior to all other men." He believed this. This philosophy has come down through the decades to be expressed today in the very same way. Saint-Simon said that scientism was a religion, and he treated it as a religion. In fact, he wrote a complete monologue called New Christianity, and this was part of it. Can scientists really predict the future? Is this really what makes them different than everybody else? You and I would disagree probably with that, but not them. People who develop, that is, engineers and scientists who develop a technocrat mindset, take on this idea that they have the ability, perhaps even a responsibility, to make predictions about everything and anything. The problem is, even in this article, when it says it has 70% accuracy of predicting premature death, what about the other 30%? Well, you say, well, who cares about the other 30%? Well, listen, here's how it plays out. When insurance companies get a hold of this kind of data, they will use it against the entire class. It'll be one size fits all. So if there's 100 people and 70 are predicted to die prematurely, and maybe they will, the other 30 will not. The insurance company will not treat the 30 that will live any different than the 30 that will die. This changes the entire risk model. And you may be denied life insurance, health insurance, and mind you, this particular study that we're in, that's in focus today, doesn't even include your DNA data. That's coming. It's not there yet. What's happening in healthcare is truly frightening. There's a book I would recommend to you called Big Brother in the Exam Room, written by an acquaintance of mine by the name of Twyla Braze. Great book. The subtitle is called The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. You need to be very careful what you tell your doctor these days. My personal story is I recently did go to a new medical facility. I just figured I needed to have somebody that I could go to if I get the flu or something like that, and I need some antibiotics. And instead of just introducing myself for them being introduced to me, they wanted to do a complete makeover on me. They wanted this test and that test and blood test and all this kind of stuff. And so for a little bit, I kind of played along. Now I'm not so sure. Because my blood sugar was slightly elevated, they call that a pre-diabetic condition, I've had slightly high blood sugar for some time, many years actually. So I may or may not ever get diabetes, I don't know. But as soon as the practitioner saw that my blood sugar was just a little bit high, so, oh, you need to be on a statin drug. We want to prescribe a statin drug to you. And I said, no, I'm not going to take a statin drug. I don't want that kind of drug. I don't want the side effects from it, and I'm not going to take it. She said, oh, okay. And she put it down in my record. And so later, when I checked my own health records on the portal, the computer internet portal that they have set up for me, right there in the record, it says, patient refused statin drugs. Whoa, like, wow, I'm some kind of belligerent guy, man. The doctor gave me a prescription, or wanted to, and I said, no, I defied the doctor. Actually, it's not a doctor, it's just a nurse practitioner, about 25 years old, it seemed like. And so my record now has a permanent mark in it that I, Patrick Wood, am obstinate towards following the doctor's suggestions. Well, let me tell you what happened in Arizona. You say, well, this is pretty far-fetched. Let me tell you what happened here in Arizona just a couple of months ago. A mother had a sick toddler, high fever, took the toddler to the doctor. The doctor said, well, you better take your child to emergency and have them check it out. She was more concerned about the high fever than anything. And so she went home first, and because she has other children. She went home first, and in the meantime, the child's temperature broke and dropped quite a bit. So she's thinking to herself, well, it looks like my child is out of the woods. The fever's broken, and he's starting to feel a little bit better. I think I'll just skip the emergency room. So she did. Little did she know that the doctor discovered that her child was not vaccinated. Perhaps that was already in the child's record. Perhaps the doctor asked her on the spot, is your child vaccinated? And she had chosen not to vaccinate her child. Well, the doctor took it upon himself to contact Child Protective Services that this child, this mother, had refused to go to the hospital. And how did he know that she didn't go? Because he called the hospital to see if she showed up, and she didn't. So he took it upon himself to call Child Protective Services, saying this mother defied the doctor's orders to go to the hospital. CPS, that's Child Protective Services in Arizona, called the police. They issued some type of a warrant. I'm not sure what type of a warrant it was, but the police got involved. The police sent out a SWAT team who ultimately broke down the door on this woman's apartment, took all three children out of the house, the sick one included, and the other two healthy children, put them in foster care, and the woman is still trying to get her children back. Now, to connect the dots here, the medical community is talking to government services like Child Protective Services, who in turn is talking to the police. This three-way intersect already existed before this woman took her child in. But because the doctor was alarmed, oh, this child has no vaccine for whatever it was. It might have been MMR, I don't know. But because the child had no vaccine, it became a national emergency for him. We must report this woman because she is a rebel. She's a rebel because she is against vaccines. She refuses her child to take a vaccine. And this child could have some dread disease because he didn't have his vaccines. Well, the fact is, and as it's come out, the doctor did not make a diagnosis on that child, other than to say, take the child to the hospital. He had made no diagnosis, but primarily based on the idea that the child did not take the vaccine, the police got involved. The family, the children especially, are now traumatized for the rest of their life because of this. And in the meantime, Child Protective Services has refused to give up the children back to her mother. This is the state of healthcare today. Data-driven healthcare. This is technocracy in action, by the way. It's out of our control, and it's off the rails. If you get a chance to read Twyla Braze's new book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, having been an RN for many years herself, and now she's a champion of health freedom across America. She co-founded Citizens Council for Health Freedom some years ago. Read her book. You'll get the whole skinny. You need to protect yourself. There are ways that you can protect yourself, your data, and your records, but not unless you really kind of understand what's going on. So enough about healthcare. It is a great concern to everybody because we all have health, we hope, and we all want to be as healthy as we can. But the medical community now is starting to work against us. This is not good. Next story, the Pentagon pursues AI-powered weapons despite public outcry. This is a story that has been recurring in technocracy.news for some time. Not this particular story, but the concept of artificial intelligence in the military. President Dwight D. Eisenhower, in his farewell speech, warned us about the military-industrial complex. And in the very next breath, which most people don't play that part of his audio, in the next breath he said, also beware of the scientific elite that is emerging to control society as well. So he warned of two things, the industrial-military complex and the scientific elite. He saw the danger even back then. That was in the 50s. So today we see the Pentagon and its various agencies within, like DARPA, within the Pentagon, rushing to apply artificial intelligence to weapon system. And because of that, there has been a lot of public outcry. Don't do it. You know, that especially killer robots, like killer drones that might act autonomously once a target is programmed in, go find the target and destroy it. World War III, if, as, and when it happens, is going to be a doozy because all of the major militaries of the world are indeed rushing to AI-powered weapon systems that will be able to execute strategies independently of humans. Now, they assure us, of course, humans are not going to be out of the loop. We'll always have a human in the loop somehow. And that may be kind of obliquely correct, but I'll tell you what, so far, everything that the military has told us that they wouldn't do, they eventually do. It's almost like a clue. If they say they won't do something, be looking for it, because they probably will. So they can say what they will about using AI and weapon systems today, but I can absolutely guarantee that they're working on autonomous killing machines, just like the Chinese are, just like the Russians are. The technocrats in the military system are not going to be outfoxed or outdone by China or Russia. And so they're doing these things. They're just not really telling the whole story. But this is an important thing to the Pentagon. Artificial intelligence, they've rationalized it completely. This is, we have to do this. We must stay up with the enemy and we must survive the next war and a sort of thing. And there may be some truth to that. But a lot of people are very concerned about this and why they're doing it and what they're going to do with it. If this kind of technology ever, ever, ever gets turned against the American people, which it could because it's the government, the American people would be in deep, deep trouble. The last story is about technocrats as well. The DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration. Surprise, surprise. The title is, headline, Technocrats at DEA Swept Up Data in Defiance of Law. It starts out, the administration, quote, failed to conduct a comprehensive legal analysis of three NSA-style bulk data collection programs according to the Justice Department Inspector General. This is their own Inspector General that's blowing the whistle on them. They failed to conduct a comprehensive legal analysis. Now it's been found out that they were very routinely breaking the law for a very long time. It says dating back to the early 1990s. This is a 144-page report that was just released by the Inspector General. Some people would look at it and say, well, this doesn't mean anything really. But this is an example. I say, let this be a lesson that the technocrat mind has no space for adhering to individual laws or, more generally, the rule of law. We've seen this consistently and repeatedly taking place. That is willful disregard of the law within the intelligence community for years. We've seen it from the NSA, the FBI, CIA, now the DEA. The technocrat mindset loves to collect data. The motto today for Technocracy News is follow the data, follow the power. And that's true. Follow the money, follow the power, still has some truth in it as well. But in this postmodern world now, as we look at technocracy, it's follow the data and follow the power. Data is power, and technocrats don't care how they get it, legally or illegally. They hoard data at every opportunity. Well, there's some things to think about for Friday, March 29. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day.